have another privilege and opportunity to be in the house of the Lord with the saints of God, and we thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for every one of you that are here today, and we thank the Lord for his faithfulness to us. We want to discuss today error, and it's something that the Lord's dealt with me about and has been dealing with me about over a period of time, and I want to share with you what the Lord has given us and give us warning. The Lord has a purpose and a reason for everything that he allows to happen in our lives. And there are some things in our lives that seems like they're not as important as maybe other things are. But we want to make certain that we give due importance, as we heard in our Sunday school lesson today, due importance to that, to the Word of God and what the Lord shows us. I want us to turn to 1 John, the 4th chapter, and start at the first verse. If you have it, you can read it for us. 1 John 4, verse 1.
Love.
Yes.
Believe not every spirit.
But try the spirit. It says, but try the spirit. So it tells us, this is a warning that he tells to the people of God. Beloved, those of you that I love, I want to tell you, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits.
Whether they are of God.
Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So he says here at the beginning, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. In other words, test them. Make certain that you are not a gullible person that just believes everything that you hear. Somebody walks up to you, gives you some kind of advice in a spiritual way. Don't believe just anything. All right, so it says, try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So what this tells us is, the reason we're to try the spirits is because there are false prophets. And some are almost indistinguishable and indiscernible. You can't discern, let me rephrase that word. You can discern through the Spirit of God what is false and what is not. Now, we are living in a time that we are encouraged to just accept people. It's called tolerance, and we are your way and my way and different ways and moral differences and whatnot. We just embrace everybody and we're living in that time. And on the natural level, that's okay. In one regard, we can be tolerant of other people, but it doesn't mean that we have to embrace them and imbibe what they have. All right. Now, it doesn't mean that we go around preaching to them and shaking our finger in their faces and telling them that they're doing wrong unless the Lord gives us that kind of instruction to do. But our lives, the very life that we live, will shake a finger in their way. They don't want to be around folks not because of what we said, but because of what we did. And we really didn't do anything. Have you ever heard of people that don't like you simply because of who you are? Not because you're going around preaching to them in the outward way, but your life is being read by them. Your life is preaching a sermon to them, and your life is convicting them. This is how we're supposed to live. This is what how God intended for us to live. Some of those people don't appreciate what we are, who we are, and then some of the folks that may not be wanting to live like we live, but they are appreciative that there's somebody that still holds to what they know is right. I'm not living this right now, they say, but I know it's right, and I appreciate the fact that you're living it. So it says, don't believe all the spirits, but try them. Test them. Give some kind of there is a test that we give to these, a person with that is making an assumption or assertion. How does it say? It says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye know, have heard that it should come. And even now, already, is it in the world. Yes. Ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So what he says here, there is a spirit of Antichrist. Where have you heard that it was coming in the world? It's already here. And so we have to understand, what does it mean when you say Antichrist? What does that mean? It is against. It is something that is against Christ, against the very notion of who he is. It says here that if the Spirit says that he's come in the flesh, what that means is not just to say, yes, that I know Jesus Christ came in the flesh, but no, I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came in the flesh and died on the cross to save men from their sins. Now, when you have that level of confession, then you know it's of God. Yes, that he came, he died on the cross, he died to deliver mankind, deliver me from my sins, not for me to remain in my sins, but to be delivered from my sins. I thank the Lord for that. I don't want to sin more or less every day. I want to have the liberty and the freedom to live a righteous and a holy life. And I cannot do that in and of myself. The only way that I can do that is through and by the Spirit of God. What does it say? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What does that mean? What that means to us is that I have literally, I am possessed by the Spirit of God. That the Spirit of God rules and reigns in my life, and as I give him course, free course in my life, he is able to give me the power, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, over the things of the world. So I can live in this world a life that God is pleased with. Why? Because I'm such a strong-willed person, because I am such a good person, because I follow instructions well. None of that matters. What matters is that I have allowed and I've confessed that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He rules and reigns in my life. I'm living not because of my own ability and not because of my own power, but because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. His power is what enables me to live a righteous and holy life. Isn't that wonderful? And this is what it's all about. This is what salvation is all about. Now, there are things that are going on in our world today that are very clearly about the spirit of Antichrist. There is such one of the things that we see so prevalently in our culture and in our generation is the fact that there is such a strong fight against marriages. It seems like there are many marriages that are in trouble. And it seems like the enemy will do everything that he possibly can to break up a marriage. You fight for your marriage. Amen. You fight for what God has. Why is that? Why is that? Because it is a type of Jesus Christ and the church. Yeah. All right? There are a lot of other things that are going on in our generation today that shows forth that there is just a spirit that goes against the Spirit of Christ. What is the Spirit of Christ? It is to unite, to become as one. And it seems like there are so many things that are happening today to get one person. This is not even about marriage, but it's about unity. Unity and coming together. There is one is battling against the other. That there doesn't seem to be that we're able to come together. What do we have in our Congress? I know in our political system, the Republicans are fighting against the Democrats and they can't come to the conclusion that, listen, some are Republicans, some are Democrats, but we are for the good of our country. Yeah. Lord help us. And if we're not careful, we'll find fights right in the church. Lord help us. All right. Now, so he said, hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, I thought in my mind, I look back over my life, and all of us can, and we can see where we made mistakes. We made some errors, and some of those errors were pretty profound, and they had an impact, and they're still having an impact on our lives. And there are some that we can say in one sense that some of the things that we are having to deal with on a day-to-day basis, if I could look back and I could do some things differently, we would do some things differently, wouldn't we? I wouldn't do this like that. And I probably made some mistakes, and all of us have probably made mistakes financially that if we had done this particular thing, we would be better off financially. I know I can say that several times over. But I'm looking and I'm thinking that I'm doing the right thing when somebody, I get advice from somebody and they say, we'll do it this way, and we find that we do it that way. And then as we look back on it, we find out that that's a mistake, that we made an error and we shouldn't have done it, but we're okay. I'm still alive and things are still pretty good for me. There's nothing wrong per se with that, but there are some errors that we can make that are eternal errors. And they'll have an eternal impact on us. And maybe we've gotten some advice. This is why we say try the Spirit, because we can get some advice from somebody that can tell us to do a thing a particular way, and it's not the way of God. And so consequently, because it's not the way of God, it has an effect on us, and it's not just an effect in this time world, but it's an effect for eternity.
Yeah.
And the kind of errors that we make here in this time world is okay for us to make, because we in some ways can recover from them. But when we make errors that are eternal errors, there's no recovery. A few people. You remember David. I won't go, for the sake of time, we won't go into these. We won't read it, but I'll give them to you for your for you to look at it in your leisure. 2 Samuel 11 chapter, starting probably about the first verse, is about David and Bathsheba. David walks upon a rooftop and he sees another man's wife. And he lays with her. She conceives. And then David tries to hide that, doesn't he? Uriah is over there fighting in David's army. This is a disgrace, really. He's fighting in David's army, and he gets Uriah to try to go send for him to come home to try to cover up David's mistake. And Uriah won't even go into the room. So David tries to cover that mistake, and he gets through that. Even though he made a grave error and the Lord punishes him on that, it's recoverable. And then there's another one, Samson. Samson speaks to Delilah, and Delilah wants to know where his strength is, and she wants to know it for gain so that the Philistines can come and take his strength away, because he's an enemy of the Philistines. And so he finally plays with it, and he makes a few mistakes, you might say, and he makes a grave error in telling her that his strength lies in his hair. And she cuts his hair off, and he loses all of his strength. We're zooming through this. And one of the first things after he loses his strength is that the children, the Philistines, what they do is they put his eyes out. But ultimately, in the end, Samson is able to recover, and he's able to avenge the loss of his sight, and he's able to recover what he's done. That's a recoverable error. And then we find the rich man in Luke, the 16th chapter. He said there was a rich man that fared sumptuously every day, and then there was a poor man named Lazarus. Lazarus died and was carried away to heaven, and the rich man died and he went to hell. Now this didn't say it was a parable. Now this man made a grave error. And it was an eternal error. So what I want to say to us today is there are two types of errors. And I want to give a little deeper definition of that, of what when I talk about it from the scriptural standpoint, I want to give a little deeper definition of what that means. One type of error is one that we can live with. The other we cannot afford to die with. All right? One affects time. The other affects eternity. Now, we live in a time, we live in an age, in which when it comes to spiritual matters, there are a lot of people that are exploring a lot of different things. And I want to say to you that as the Lord shows you, and the Lord will be faithful to you, to give you an understanding of what's right. And your responsibility is to maintain what God has shown you to be right. Now, one definition of err is to stray. This is the strong coming from Strong. It says to stray to sin. Is to vacillate, to transgress, to roam, to deviate, or wander from truth. And so one of the things is that a person that vacillates, what vacillation is basically here, there's some instability. And so one of the things that takes a person into error is that they have never been able to grasp and be stable in what they believe. And so when you hear something good on this hand, They go with every wind of doctrine. This is the trend of the day, and they go with the trend this time, and then before you know it, they're over going with this trend because this sounds good. Do you know it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility to seek the Lord, to know of a certainty very clearly what the mind of the Lord is about His truth. The Scripture says that we learn in our Sunday school lesson today is, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. That when you have read the Word of God, you endeavor, Lord, I'm not interested in finding out just for my own, because this is what everybody is saying. I want to know for my own benefit what it is that you want me to do. And then when we begin to understand that from a very clear perspective then the Lord gives us, the clarity that we need. Pray for us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Read it for us, please.
But I fear,
lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another Spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might bear well with him.
For I suppose
I was not a whit behind the chiefest apostle. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. You say, I may not have been a good speaker, but I was very knowledgeable. And you know what I've learned sometimes is that we tend to like to hear people that are good speakers. There's something about it. Nobody likes to hear necessarily. It would be more laborious for us to listen to somebody that may not be a good speaker. But Paul is saying, I was rude in speech. And apparently he wasn't just a dynamic preacher, but he was very knowledgeable of the Word of God. He knew very clearly what the Word of God was saying, what was right and what was not right. And he says here, I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve, there is subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Do you realize that the simplicity that is in Christ is that Jesus Christ died to save me from my sin?
Yes.
And now in today's generation, there is a very strong push that of many people saying that you cannot live a righteous and a holy life. And saints, I want to tell you, that's why Jesus died. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And if we're not careful, we'll open ourselves up a little bit too much to what we hear, to the good things or the good sounding things that we hear. And before we know it, we're roaming or wandering or we're vacillating in some kind of a way. The things that we once understood to be solid truths that God had revealed to us personally, then we'll begin to vacillate and become unstable to the point that we don't see it that way anymore. One of the things that happened, he says, I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. He was very subtle. Let me tell you, the devil is going to be very subtle in what he brings to you. It's not going to look openly like it's error, like it's false doctrine, like it's something that you should not follow. It is going to look in some ways more like the truth than truth itself, if he can make it look like that. He is going to do it in such a way that it is enough truth that is verifiable, that's mingled with enough error, that if you follow in this direction, you don't even realize that there came a fork in the road and you took the direction that God didn't take. All right, now, here's the point. Let's go I believe basically that most of the principles in the Scriptures are found in Genesis somewhere. And I want us to go to, he says that he's very subtle. Let's go to Genesis, the third chapter, and let's start at the first verse. Let's read about this. We all know it, but let's read about it.
Now the serpent
was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman,
Yea, hath
God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Now this is very clear that she repeated what God told her. Now, we want to say that this didn't come from a preacher that was telling Eve this. This didn't come from somebody that she didn't have a level of confidence in, or there was some question in her mind to their veracity and whether or not they were really truthful. This wasn't the issue here. This came directly from God, and God had given Eve a revelation. Even though Eve did not clearly know what it meant to die, she knew very clearly what God had told her. All right? What God had revealed to her. Read, please.
And the serpent said unto the woman,
Ye shall not surely die.
For God doth know
that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. All right, now let's stop right there. He says, I fear. What does it say? Let me read it like it says it. But I fear lest by any means. It didn't say by a certain mean. I fear lest by, there is a multiple of means that the enemy can beguile you. He can beguile me. There have been many preachers that have been beguiled. There have been many people that are deacons and in whatever position you are in the church and whatever position you are in your home, there have been many people in your position that have been beguiled. I fear lest by any means, various means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, the simple thing that Eve was to do is just obey God. That was all obey what she understood God to say. That is just simple, isn't it? If he said, and this is what you understand him to say, then you do it no matter who comes in and introduces some different kind of information. It doesn't matter who that person is. You stand by what you know God requires of you. All right. First of all, you have to have a clarity and an understanding that this is what God has determined from my life. I'm not looking at somebody else. I'm not basing my following the Lord on somebody else's following. This is what the Lord showed Eve. All right. And what the devil came in here and what he said is, yea, shall you not eat of every tree of the garden? You see, that's almost truth. That really is in essence truth, except for one. So he presents it, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Can't you eat of every tree of the garden? Now, where is he going with this? In one sense, that is a true statement, with the exception that there is one tree you can eat of all the trees of the garden, with the exception of one. So one of the first things that the devil does is that he makes you question by throwing in just in a little different perspective what God has told you and what you know to be from God. And he causes you to question that ever so slightly. And then Eve, not knowing where he's going with this, she restates what God says. So we find out that Eve has a very clear understanding of what God told her to do. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, or you're going to die. Now that's very clear, isn't it? You can eat of every tree except for one. If you touch it, you're going to die. And then what the devil comes, and here's the next point. The next point is, oh, ye shall not surely die. He's going directly against what God said, but he knows that he has her attention. And one of the things that we must understand is that the devil can make you think differently about something that you know God has given you very clear understanding on. He can make you think differently about it. Don't think for a moment that you're wiser than he is. He has had centuries experience over multiple centuries of deceiving people with personalities just like mine and yours. So he presents, the second point is, I'm going to present, oh no, you're not going to die. What's going to happen? This is really what he means. This is how you really interpret it, this scripture. This is the word of God. This is how you really interpret what God was saying when he sent this. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Right now, you don't know some things, and if you eat that fruit, then he knows that there's going to be some understanding that you have that you don't have right now. If you do this particular thing, he opens up your understanding, and he gives you a greater level of understanding. You know, I've seen people follow after things that are false doctrines that are wrong and false prophets that are wrong because these people seem to open up a greater level of understanding, and that understanding is competing with what God has already shown the Eve, us, you, me. And then as we listen to that, then what happens is we begin to question whether or not God has been completely upfront and truthful with us, or whether or not we're missing something, and whether or not there's a deeper level of understanding. All of us want to have a deeper level of understanding, don't we? But what does it say? Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits because to see whether or not they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. What we're trying to do and what we're trying to establish for you today is God gives us, each one, a very clear understanding of what His will and what His way is, and our responsibility is to follow that no matter what new information comes in. Alright? Lord help us. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, she began to think differently about what God had told her. Now, this is not beyond any one of us. We can believe a certain way for a certain period of time, and for all, I don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden and they believed the way God had told them, and then the enemy came in and he inserted and corrupted their minds to begin to believe something that was a little bit different than what God had intended for them to believe, and God never intended for them to believe that, and it had an eternal impact on them and the rest of the world. Lord help us. It didn't seem like at the moment that it was that big of a deal, but it was. And saints, so what I want to say to us is, be careful. I don't know altogether what you're thinking. I don't know what's on your mind. But I want you to be careful. Because it can start out as something that seems completely innocent. And I've seen it. There are some things that I've seen happen among the saints that I never thought would happen. There are some things that some people are sympathetic to that I've seen over the last few years that people are sympathetic to, and I never thought it would happen. And I wonder in my mind, how is it? Let me tell you something. The devil comes to every one of us. I remember one of the things that when I was young in the ministry, and Sister Annabelle that was pastoring before I came here, one of the things that she said to me, and she said that when a spirit fights a congregation, or she said it as a congregation, and I believe that we can say it goes beyond a congregation. It could be a family, it could be a generation, it could be a culture, it could be various things. He said, if there's a spirit that is allowed to be loose on a congregation, it will try its hand on everyone to find out what everyone's weakness is. And it'll try to bring them down as a result of exploiting their weakness. I want to turn to another scripture. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Let's read the first verse. This goes along with that. 1 Timothy. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. What is seduction? Seduction is the ability to find some natural inclination or a natural weakness and to be able to exploit that weakness or that inclination, whatever it is a weakness or inclination. It does not necessarily have to be a sin. But what the enemy would do, endeavor to do, he would find that inclination and he would exploit in an endeavor to bring you down. And so what she told me is, and I believe it, I've seen it happen over many years, and not just in one place, but in several places. That, and when you open yourself up to any spirit of the enemy, any spirit of error, it has an ability to work with you to the point that you can depart from the faith. You can wander into something that is wrong simply because you're listening to the wrong things. You're listening to the wrong person. You're listening to the wrong one. You're listening to the devil. It says, giving heed to seducing spirits. Do you realize that the reason we come to a place like this, called a church, and we sit here, and the Lord gives those of us that He has gifted with a prophecy to be able to preach to you about the Word of God. You may not need it now, we say, but you will need this, because I guarantee you, the enemy is going to come to you, and he's going to tell you that some of the things that we've been taught, some of the things that we've stood for are wrong. Don't believe him. Amen. Don't believe him. You need to know the Lord for yourself. You don't need to just follow a man, but you need to know the Lord for yourself. What happens is, individuals begin, we become accustomed. We're like a sheep. We are sheep. The Bible tells us that we're sheep. And what we tend to do, we tend to follow. And so we tend to follow the shepherd, and we tend to follow somebody that we have a level of confidence in. And we don't, and this is why I often say to us, listen, don't just do it because I preach it. Don't just do it because I say it. I want you to test my spirit. I want you to test and know, discern whether or not what I am saying is under the anointing and the unction of God. You should have that level of ability. And you should know whether or not it is being said just because this is what Brother Darrell teaches. I don't want you to do it because this is what I teach. I want you to know of a certainty that this is what the Bible teaches. And if it's what the Bible teaches, it's what I've got to live. You've got to live. Now, that's our responsibility, isn't it? What did the Bible say about the Lord? He said, He left us an example who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. What He did, He said that we should follow in His step. Is this telling the preachers should follow in His step? No, it's saying every person that considers himself, that has been blood washed, that is living according to the way that the Bible requires, and you've accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, you're to follow in His steps. So you know what that means, is you're close enough to know that if, as Paul says in one place, you follow me even as I also am a follower of Christ. That means not only am I looking at Paul's footsteps, I'm looking at Jesus's too. I know that Paul is following the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore I can follow him. But the Lord never gets out of my view. So that when I know that we come to a fork in the road and Jesus goes this way and the Paul goes this way, I know I'm not going over there, Brother Paul. I'm going this way because I know where the Lord is as well. Now, what the error is that many of us have, we don't take time to study the Word of God to know of a certainty if the things that people are introducing are right or wrong. We've just accepted and we swallow it hook, line, and sinker. I say you don't do it for anybody. I say, of course, I want you to follow me because the Lord has put me here as a shepherd. And I'm an under-shepherd. And so the responsibility that I have as an under-shepherd is to follow the chief shepherd. And the responsibility that you have as sheep is to follow the under-shepherd. But you always have your eye on the chief shepherd. Amen. Never is he out of your sight. Never is he out of your sight. You know the discerning. You can discern the Spirit of the Lord. You know when it's the Spirit of the Lord. And when something is not quite right, it has a little bad taste in your mouth or a little smell that doesn't smell right, then you know, wait a minute, I need to stop here. I don't want to err. I don't want to wander. I don't want to stray from the right path. I don't want to do what is not right, even though it seems like it may not be anything wrong with this. Lord, help us. I've heard of people let's go here. It says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits that find the weakness and natural tendency in you and it exploits it. It doesn't have to be sinful. You can just have, you know, sometime you're saying, what do they exploit? The fact of the matter is that some of us have little inclinations and their natural tendencies. Some of us maybe procrastinators. We don't get things done. We wait till the last minute. Right? And some people aren't. Some people don't do that. Some people are very fastidious and they get it done now. So I don't have to worry about it at the last minute. Well, you know, I've got X amount of time. So the devil can literally take some. And I can't say that procrastination is sinful. I wouldn't dare say that. It's a tendency, maybe a character defect that the Lord wants to work with you on. But let me tell you, when it comes to the matter of your soul, and when it comes to taking care of the things, as we heard in our Sunday school lesson this morning, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. When it comes to doing what God would have you to do, don't wait. So the devil, a seducing spirit can exploit a natural tendency for you to procrastinate and put off until it's too late. And then you forget what God tells you to do, and before you know it, you're in eternity, and you have it. You know, I was intending to give my heart to the Lord, but I just didn't get around to it. Well, a vacillation. Some people are a bit unstable, and you know, maybe we want to, well, I think this is the best way to go, and then somebody shows you something, well, maybe I should do that. There is a vacillation that you have a tendency to be unstable, and before you know it, you're standing for truth right here, and then somebody says, well, you know what, that's not how I see it, and they, as the devil explained it to Eve, and then you're believing this way, and you don't want to be over on this side believing something different when the Lord comes back. But it's a vacillation. I'm vacillating from one point to the other. Saints, what I want to say to you, listen. You, when you hear the word of God that is being preached, you stand on that word of God and you don't move. No matter what comes in, what somebody says, what the world is doing, you know, like Eve knew, what God has told you. Let me tell you, the Lord told me this. The Lord gave me the scripture that I'm reading to you right now. He said, in the latter time, the Spirit speaks expressly, in the latter time, there are going to be people that depart from the faith. And why are they going to depart? Simply because of who they're listening to. And they make a solid argument. And the argument seems solid, and because I don't have enough information, it seems like this is the way it goes. I was in I went to a court one time on a person that was, I probably told you this, I'll tell it to you again. There was this lady that was giving me a lot of trouble. I was managing a piece of property. It wasn't my property. I was managing a piece of property. And the lady was giving me a lot of trouble because she was really, really picky. And we went to court. I just thought, well, she wasn't paying her rent because this wasn't that. And I said, well, just move. So went to court. And she was a petite lady, not unattractive, and older lady, kind of. I say older. That ain't older anymore. But and the judge was about her age. And she was well-spoken. She came and she presented her point. Normally, the plaintiff presents their point first. But when she stood up there, she just started talking. And when she got finished talking, the judge knew that she had to be right and I was wrong. And he didn't even let me talk. So he hit his gavel down on the podium, and he says, judgment to the defendant. So I was just kind of, I hadn't said one word. So I confronted the judge. I said, how can you do that? How can you do that? You haven't even heard the other side of the story yet. And he got a little bit defensive. And then when I presented my side of the story, guess which way that he did? He had to withdraw his judgment and give it to me. Now, what's the point here? The point is that oftentimes we're unknowledgeable of the side that we should be standing on.
Yeah.
So in other words, this is what I'm saying. Somebody comes and they present an argument, and you don't know how to counter that argument, and it seems like that argument is good enough. This is why you need to know the Bible for yourself. This is why you need to know the Lord for yourself. This is why you need to know the Spirit of the Lord for yourself, because when someone presents a good argument, you can go to the scripture and you can follow that argument through, and you can determine whether or not that is a sound position for them to stand on, or is it error. And what tends to happen is we make judgments and we beat the gavel down and we say, all right, I'm going this direction, when we have not even heard the other side that would counter that argument and make us understand that that's an error. And if you go with the judgment that way, it's not sustainable. You cannot do that. And so what we must understand, spiritually speaking, is that God wants us to know the scripture for ourselves. Not because you'd be able to, it's our protection. It protects us, not just because you can spit it out and you can debate about it, but you know in the depths of your heart whether or not it's true. Now, one of the things that I've heard come up is about people speaking in tongues. It has been the tradition of the saints to stand against it. Why? Is it just a tradition of the saints? Or is it something that if we go to the scripture and we really read the scripture, there is no place in the scripture where somebody spoke a language that they didn't understand. Somebody else might not have understood it. But they understood what they were saying. According to the scripture, when you read down to the scripture, the Proverbs, what is the basic essence of Proverbs? With all wisdom is the principal thing. With all thy getting, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Now the Lord tells us in His Word to get a deep understanding of the Word of God, of what we believe, what we stand for, and now the basis of the Spirit of God is for me to accept something that I don't even understand what I'm saying. Do you see how foolish that is? But let me tell you, it will be presented to you, and it'll be up to you whether or not you accept it or whether or not you reject it as not being something of the Lord. Now, some folks might say, well, Brother Darrell, there has to be a way. I believe in tongues. I believe that there is a gift of tongues. And I believe what that gift of tongues is, that the person that is speaking it understands what they're saying. Nobody else has to understand, in essence. You understand what I'm saying? But the person that is speaking, now, of all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the basic principle is that He hones in on us. What is this for? Instruction. Understanding. And then we're going to have something that is introduced to us that is a higher prayer language. No. No. Not according to the scripture when we know it. But let me tell you why people embrace it. They embrace it because... Why do they embrace it? Because they lack knowledge. Lord help us. All right. There are other where people say that you really can't live holy. He didn't say it was going to be easy to do it, did he? You have to deny yourself. Lord help us. We have to deny ourselves, don't we? You can't do it if there's no self-denial. It is impossible. So again, what I want to say is Paul said, I've seen people that I'm following this person because I'm inclined to follow someone because we've always had confidence in him. And I remember one time that I talked to somebody. I was giving him some warning. I felt this person really had the Spirit of the Lord. I felt like the Lord was using him. But I saw them going in a direction that I felt like was not according to the Word of God. And this is what I want to say too. It is not just according to the church. It's according to the Word of God. It's according to what God says. It's according to Scripture. That's what we have to look at. Now, if the church deviates from the Scripture, nobody has to do it. If what we teach and what we believe is not scripturally based and not something that the Lord would require of us, no one is required to do it. Right? Are y'all still with me? They're going to let me preach next Sunday. It's just warning. I said to this person, I said, you know what? I said, I think what would happen is eventually what it appears to be that you're on a parallel, is maybe another different track, but it's parallel. And then before you know it, it's going to go this direction. You know how long, how I see it? I see a person, when they start on a different track, is about 3 years before you see a real difference, and it's about 7 years before it's solid. Now, there's some very, very clear things that are not according to Scripture, I believe, in that person's life. More than one person, is that not one? More than one person. And so sometimes there comes a fork in the road where you have to make a decision as to which direction you're going to go. And when you go into that, and you want to follow Jesus, this is why I say, don't just follow a man. Amen. Don't just follow an ideal. Follow what you know according to the Scripture the Lord has shown you. This is what Eve was to do. All right, we'll go a little further here. Let's go to Mark 12 and verse 18. We're moving toward our conclusion. Mark 12, verse 18.
Then come unto him the
Sadducees. The Sadducees came to him.
Say there is no resurrection.
Say there is no resurrection.
And they asked him, saying, Master,
Moses wrote unto us,
and leaves his wife
behind him.
No children,
Leave no children.
His brother should take his wife.
And raise up seed to his brother.
Now there were seven brethren.
Seven brethren.
First took a wife and dying left no seed.
Yes.
Second took her and died.
Second took
her. He
didn't leave any seed.
And
the third likewise.
And the seven
had her
and
left no seed.
Last of
all, the woman died also.
In
the resurrection, therefore,
when
they shall rise,
whose wife
shall be she be of them?
For the
seven had her to wife.
Jesus
answering and said unto them,
Do
ye not therefore err? You're making a mistake. You're making a grave error. Because why are you making this mistake? Because you don't know the scripture.
Neither
the power of God. So, all right, that's good enough. He said, you know, well, let's read that. For when they shall arise from the dead,
they
neither marry nor give are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven.
And
it's touching. All right. That's good enough. And well, that's going down to 27.
Have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him?
God spake unto him, saying,
God of Abraham,
yes.
The God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
God of Jacob.
He is not the God of the dead,
but the God of the living.
Ye therefore
do greatly err. So you make a grave error because of your lack of understanding Scripture.
Amen.
So this gives us the understanding principle that I need to understand the scripture before I can counteract those things that are coming against us. And we are living in that kind of a generation today that we hear so many things that are coming from various different sources. And if we're not careful, we'll embrace and believe. And I want to read another scripture that is Proverbs 19 and 27. Let's read that. Proverbs 19, 27.
Cease, my son.
To hear the instruction that calls you to err from the words of knowledge. So stop listening. There are some things that some people say that I don't need to listen to. And I want us to say this because here, if I don't have a good grasp of the scripture, I can be easily unfounded. I can be, my foundation can be upended and I don't know what to believe anymore. And so, again, we're talking about error causing you to be unstable or to vacillate. And I believed it like this at one time. Now I don't believe it like this anymore. And this is why I don't believe it is because you do err because you don't know the scripture. If you knew the scripture and had a clear understanding of what the Bible said, there are some things that knowing the scripture would stop you from going any further. Lord, help us. All right. All right, let's go to Hebrews 3, verse 10. Hebrews 3 and 10.
Wherefore,
I was grieved with that generation.
I said,
they always err in their hearts.
And
they have not known my ways. I swear in my wrath,
they shall not
enter into my rest.
Take heed,
brethren,
lest
there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief
in
departing from the living God. Now, I want to deal with this scripture from the standpoint of a generation. A group of people, a certain age, that lived at a certain time in history. And there's other scriptures that talk about nations. And I thought that a whole generation of people can err in their hearts because of the culture, because of the things that they are embracing in that generation, they can actually go in a different direction. You see how the Lord, when they went to the children of Israel, were to go over to the land of Canaan, he said, no, I'm not going to let you go because you didn't believe me. He said, so for 40 years, I was grieved with this generation for 40 years, and I would not let them go into the land of Canaan because they didn't believe me, because they would not embrace and accept what I had without question told them. And so these what we have to understand about these individuals is that we too can be a generation that God can be grieved with. If we do not do as the Lord has shown us, I've gone through all kinds of effort to preserve
righteousness, to preserve truth, to preserve right, and you won't receive it, he can be grieved with our generation as well. Not just with the person, but with an entire generation or with an entire nation. I wonder sometimes people in other nations that are taught differently than Christianity. I wonder if the Lord is not grieved with them, because I believe the Lord, the Bible still very plainly says that He appears to every man and gives every man an opportunity to embrace Him and to know what truth is. And I believe that He says that every man in every nation is going to accept Him, because He said that when we saw the number that no man can number, it was a number that was from every generation and from every nation, from every tongue, from every kindred, every person. Every nation, generation that was in the world, those individuals embraced and accepted the Lord. Somebody in that generation is a testament to others in that generation that did not. Lord, help us. All right, let's go to 2 Peter 3:16. I have one more scripture, and then we'll be done. 2 Peter 3:16. Start reading, please. All his epistles. Speaking in them of these things.
In which are some things hard to be understood.
Some things are hard to be understood. Which are unlearned and unstable rest. So here again, we're saying that we need to know. We can't be unlearned. We have to know. If you don't know why the Bible teaches a certain thing, or why the church teaches a certain way, what is your responsibility? To find out.
Amen.
Not just to set it aside, but to realize that there are many, many things that are protections and many things that have been set in place. Well, let's say, for instance, modesty is a protection. It's not just a tradition. Men and women. I'm not just talking about women. I'm talking about men and women. It's a protection. It protects us. It's a barrier against us, against the enemy for us. All right? Read, please. As they do also the other scriptures,
unto their own destruction.
Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now this, I know, is not necessarily maybe a typical message that we preach on Sunday, but I feel like the Lord wants us to be warned.
Amen.
Because here what we have is, also in the epistles, he said, speaking in them of things which are, some things are hard to be understood. Do you know there are a lot of things about the Bible that are hard to be understood? And there are some things that I don't have to know in order to know how to live right.
Amen.
I don't have to know where the devil came from. I don't have to know the whys of everything. I just have to know the simplicity of living right. And so somebody wants to come to you and razzle and dazzle you about some bit of knowledge that they have just attained and the Lord showed them. I don't have to know that. I don't have to know a whole bunch of stuff in order to get to heaven. What I have to know is how to live right. And so what happens is these folks that want to come in and razzle and dazzle and they don't know the scripture and you don't know them either. Well, let me tell you, when they start talking about stuff that's beyond and above me, I don't want to hear it.
Amen.
It's in my best interest not to listen because oftentimes what they try to do is to establish something, and before you know it, they've got these little questions in your mind. And it often is making it, and generally speaking, what it does, it doesn't lead to a greater, closer walk with the Lord. It leads to a closer walk with the world.
Right.
You have all this liberty. I'm free. I'm free. Well, I am too. I don't do anything I don't want to do. I don't. But let me tell you, there are times that the Lord tells me this is what I want you to do, and I don't want to do it. I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, put the want to in me.
Amen.
When I'm clear that this is what you want from me, Lord, then I'm willing to do it, because I cannot make the grave error of missing heaven. It's eternal. So in that, nothing is too hard when I am, by the grace of God, when I come to a point that it is something that the flesh is crying out against. Jesus did it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't want to. But when he got through praying, he was willing to. And so that's what we have to do. So what it says here, some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable. Again, those that are vacillating, they're unstable, they rest, they take it and they violently twist it in another direction. I've been in situations and conversations with various people, and sometimes when they get through talking to me, it's like you've got to stand on one hand and do like this in order to understand what they said. If you look at it upside down, oh, okay, I kind of see what you're talking about. But it doesn't make sense. And they're all razzled and dazzled about what God has shown them. I don't have to know it like that. All I need to know is whether or not I'm living right day to day, whether or not I'm obeying God with what He's told me, what He's shown me. Just the little simple things, whether or not this act is drawing me closer to the Lord or taking me further away. One of the two things is what's happening. Well, you should have the right. I have the right to do everything that I want to do and everything that the Lord wants me to do. Don't let somebody tell you. Don't let them tell you that you're bound. Let me tell you, we don't put bonds on anybody.
Amen.
You have liberty. I've said it many times. You have liberty to do whatever you want to do. Just make sure you can get by with it with God. You can get by with it with me. I'm not going to rope you and tie you, hog tie you and make you do like what I believe you should do. I wish I could to some folks. But I can't. And so therefore, if you want to do it, do it. But if I get up and I preach on it and the Lord gives me something that says, to the contrary, you better take consideration in that as well. And you better go to the Lord and say, Lord, is this something that you want me to do or is this something that you don't want me to do? I don't want to make the grave error like the rich man that he put it off. He didn't obey what he knew to do. I know that Lazarus' life was speaking to him. I know he could have done something for Lazarus. I know Lazarus preached to him in some kind of a way, but yet this man waited and he made the grave error of not getting himself right with the Lord, and it was too late. I don't want that to happen to you, and I sure don't want it to happen to me. And you know, the only person that I really have complete control over, me. I can preach, I can speak, I can tell you, I can warn you, I can do whatever, but I don't have any control over you. And let me tell you what I will not do. I won't force you to do anything. I will entreat you. The Lord doesn't force us to do anything, does He? You know what? If He forces, everybody would be saved. Because I believe He forced them to be saved. But He lays it out and He presents to you, here's truth, the spirit of truth, here's the spirit of error. You make the choice as to which way you want to go. So saints, I want to encourage you. You make the choice. You make the choice. The Lord has shown you something. The Lord has given you a clarity, an understanding, a conviction. Stand by your convictions. The Lord has given you an understanding of what it is that He requires of you. Just like He made it very plain to Eve, Eve repeated what God told her to do. And I see people that repeat what the Lord told them to do. I've had people that come to me and say, you know what, this person has presented this to me, and then I, maybe as a counselor to that individual, was telling them something different I remember one person telling me, he said, well, this person is saying this, and you're saying such and such, and he said, well, you have the goods to back it up. I can look at the history in your life, and I can look at what you're saying is right, and I'm not going to follow this person. And they did that for about 2 or 3 weeks. And then before you know it, they were going off in this direction. Stop listening to certain people. Stop listening. Stop listening. Let me tell you, there is a spirit behind everything. Every voice, there's a spirit behind it. This voice right here that is speaking, there is a spirit behind it. If I was dead, you couldn't hear it. I would have no voice, right? So there is a spirit, and that not only is the spirit of Daryl, but it's the spirit of the Lord as well. Alright? So we want you to understand that you should be able to discern whether or not whoever ministers, whether it's me, whether it's Sister Reed, whether it's somebody in a Sunday school, whether it's somebody else, you should be able to discern whether or not that's the spirit of the Lord. But sometimes, have you ever heard somebody say something and you thought, that don't sound right. It sounds good, but it's something that just doesn't taste right. It doesn't smell right. You know, I say this, discernment is like that. Have you ever gone to the refrigerator and you looked at something, it didn't have any mold on it, it's been there for a while. It didn't have any mold on it, and you're getting ready to eat it, and what do you do? You smelled it. Why? Because there's another level of discernment. Eyes is one discernment. And then there's another level of discernment. You smell it and then you taste it. As to whether or not, you don't take a whole big spoonful and stick it in your mouth and start chewing, because it may not work, right? But you, there is levels of discernment. And so you maybe go a little bit, you're a little cautious, and you taste it a little bit, and then you maybe have somebody else to taste it or smell it. Does it smell all right to you? We say those kinds of things, don't we? In the same way, spiritually, there are folks that are going to come and present themselves to you, and it's not going to smell. It's not going to look right, and you're going to kind of be a little, and you maybe smell a little bit. Don't smell too bad, but I'm not really sure. And you taste it a little bit, and before you know it, don't eat it. You don't eat it because you know it ain't right. Lord, help us. Help us. Help us to know right from wrong. And it is not always easy. We need the Spirit of the Lord. We need discernment. Now let's read another scripture, James 1 and 16.
Do not err.
Do not err, my beloved brethren. That's all I want you to hear. Do not err. Do not err, my beloved brethren. What did he say? He started off as saying, beloved, believe not every spirit. Why did he say, I love you? I love you. I'm concerned about your soul. Don't believe every spirit. There's a spirit of truth and there's a spirit of error. Now he says, beloved, this is James speaking, beloved, do not err, my beloved brother. This is what I want to say to you. Err, stray to sin, vacillate, transgress, roam, deviate, or wander from truth. Do not err. May the Lord help us. Pray for me. Let us stand.